Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for joining too. We ask you to bless this meeting today, and thank you so much for the goodness that you're showing us through this revelation today, your kindness towards us, your love towards us. Thank you so much, Father. We believe it. We thank you so much. Amen. All right, we're going to call this Love and Protection in the Truth. Amen. And the first revelation we're going to share is Walking to Sanctification and Revival, Samuel Fire. My wife, our son, and I were walking through a park. The fires represent a young family in the Lord in this dream, resting in the park. I was neatly set up with a children's playground and pathways around the green grass and bushy trees. The park represents denominations where new baby Christians often start on their path with Jesus. And, Peter said that all flesh is as grass, so the apostate churches don't teach new believers that they have authority to walk or have dominion over the flesh and to conquer the flesh as their promised land. Samuel went on in distance. He said, "In the distance I saw a dark-skinned guy, and he was acting very suspicious." The dark-skinned guy represents the old man or our enemies who walk in darkness. And Tiana didn't feel right about him and wanted to hide from him. And while quickly escaping so that he didn't see us, Tiana accidentally dropped a winning lottery ticket. Which is a great provision, right? Okay. So he goes on, in childlike faith, we all start out seeking God and looking for the real Jesus, going through different church ministries or denominations or whatever. Well, these new believers are scared to face the old man and don't realize that everything has already been provided for. And there is no hiding from our sinful carnal nature. Or in persecutors either. They must be conquered through faith. He went on to say, "I was concerned, but I thought and prayed that no one would find it and we would get it when the dark-skinned man left the area." True. That's when you get it, is when the old man is gone, right? Whether he be there to persecute you or whether he be your flesh, you know. Well, we ran to a hotel-like building and tried to go through one of the doors. And I said to Tiana, "No, not that one. Someone's in there." And when we were going to the next door, I heard someone say, "Hello?" And the next door we tried was vacant, and we went in. We hid in there, and Tiana was constantly checking out the window to see if the dark-skinned man was out there. Well, we need to cast down any fear of the old man and live in faith that he is dead. As far as our enemies, it's the same thing. They are there to persecute, crucify, whatever, you know. And when their job is finished, they'll be gone. And suddenly a door adjoining a room to ours opened and an elderly lady came in. Well, we know that Jesus is the door to the sheepfold, right? And the elderly lady here represents the original church and the true gospel. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "Having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." And back to his text, he said, John 10:7-9. Jesus therefore said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. And 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. That is, of course, straight out of the Word, right? If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And also 2 John 1 and 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote to thee a new commandment, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. So, he says, the elderly lady asked if we were okay and if she could help us. We were so thankful. She provided new clothes for our family. Clothing represents our works, right? Like in Isaiah 61 and 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He went on to say, we were no longer trying to hide from the old man, and now we were working for the king with our new works of faith. So we left and ran to the spot where we had dropped the lottery ticket, and they picked it up. Ephesians 2 and 20, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. The word of the Lord in us is Christ in us. If you're learning from a religion, they don't tend to stick with the word, and you're not sure to have Christ in you, the real Jesus in you, right? We then continued our walk over to David and Michael's house. And he has here, UBM provides unleavened bread of truth. That's because we learned not to add to or take away from the word, right? So let me say that David represents the man-child here, and Michael, those who are like God, because that's what his name means, who is like God. Who else would be able to stay around the man-child, right, but those kind of people? And when we walk in the original unfeigned faith, our walk leads us to the true Jesus that has the unleavened bread of truth. He said when we arrived, a lady was talking with David and Michael about some help she needed. And he has there, many members of the true church are coming out of apostasy. True, true. We thank you, Father, for that. David then said, just ask Samuel. He can help you with that. Samuel in the Hebrew means heard of God. I was shocked and had no idea what the discussion was about, but I was eager to help. David, Michael, and Tiana, and our son, then started on something else. The lady was kind and needed something that was simple and easy to do based on the skills that God had gifted me with. I told Tiana I had to go out and purchase an item for her, and then I would come back. The lady then went to join the others, and they were beginning a praise and worship meeting on Zoom. After I purchased the item to help the lady and altered it with my hands, it was complete and ready to go. I then started working on the engine and some things in our car, which was not the same as our car in the natural, but was instead an American muscle car. It wasn't starting properly, and he says the church needs to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and this will happen when revival starts. I kept doing things under the hood and in the engine bay, and then going to start it over and over, getting it right, right? And he says, ministering to the church who needs a renewed mind and a new heart. Very true, very true. That's why we need to spend time in the Word. Because many start out with self-works to fix their own vessels, but we must rest in God and learn to rely on the unfeigned faith of God instead. Amen? Then I felt by faith to lay hands on it and said, all is done. Jesus has healed and blessed you, Carr, and I and my family love you and delight in you. You're blessed in Jesus' name. Then by faith I closed the hood, washed up, and changed my shirt, jumped in and started it up. It was so powerful that the car was shaking like it had a 1,000-horsepower engine in it. Well, let me say that there is a lot more power in faith in the gospel than self-works. And the church is full of self-works because they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and the knowledge to cooperate. Romans 4 and 16 says, 1 and 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Another revelation that was given to Tiana Fire, 3:18-23, the body helps each other. Yes, we are knit together to be a one body. She said there was much more to this dream, but this is all I remember. I dreamed that Michael and David were going to move into a new house, and all the brethren were helping them to prepare for the move. Well, she has representing moving into a man-child anointing. She said the UBM brethren were all gathering in a large building that was designed kind of like a barn, but it had a, which is of course for raising, right, crops, so on and so forth. But it had a part that was like a house and a giant area for everyone to gather. Michael and David were staying there until they completely moved into the next house. All right, John 14 and 2 through 3. In the house of my Father are many abodes. If not so, I would have told you, for I am going to prepare you a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I come again, and I will receive you unto myself. There where I am, you be also. Amen. That's the NENT. Michael and David moving into houses represents the godly and the man-child moving into more freedom and anointing. Amen. The house Michael and David were about to move into was on a large amount of land that had a big open area like a prairie, but the rest of the land was forest. Well, that's significant. Isaiah 32 and 15 says, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be esteemed as a forest. That's a pretty fruitful field, right? The separation between the wicked and the righteous represented by the prairie and the trees. Psalm 1, 3 through 5 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Yes, the chaff is light. It's the outer man, the outer husk that you don't need, and the wind, or representing the Spirit, drives it away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Judgment is coming. The Lord's told us that many times, and he also has told us over and over and over that he's going to take out the wicked. The house was located at the back of the open grass area near the forest. and included at the front of this property was an apartment building. The property was previously owned by a very wealthy person that I felt was part of the deep state, but God had given him grace to repent, and he had come out of darkness and gave away all of his physical things for free to God's elect. Yes, there'll be many people coming out from under the deep state in these days and coming into Christ-likeness. Michael, right? Matthew 19 and 21 says that Jesus said unto him, "If thou wouldest be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me," representing this person who had a lot of money and came into the kingdom and used it to help God's people. And 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 says, "Charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded, nor have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, and that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed." Yes, amen. And Proverbs 28 and 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be unpunished." Yes, there are some people that can be trusted with riches, and they're going to use it correctly, as we just read. But also, there are those that can't be trusted with it. It would just destroy them. Yeah. "All the brethren kept making a wide variety of sweet and savory home-cooked meals, and they would always bring at least a plate of food each time they would gather in the barn. The brethren would also make much extra food for Michael and David so that they didn't have to worry about making food. And the brethren would also clean their home and the barn and take care of all the physical things so that Michael and David could focus on the spiritual things and seeking our Heavenly Father." And she gives Galatians 6 and 6. "But let him that is taught in the word share in all good things with him that teacheth." Acts 4 and 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Yes, amen. And we're going back to that, of course. That is the standard. It's in the scriptures. "And when it came time for Michael and David to move to the new house, all of the brethren helped pack everything and prepare, so all Michael and David had to do was to walk to the new house. I remember thinking that maybe I should give them cookies when I went over to their new house. But I saw there were already many other plates filled with different types of cookies." And comment is, we need to be sensitive to our giftings and where to serve in the body and to trust the Holy Spirit's leading on our lives. Yep, amen. It's true. We're made to do something. Amen. Prepared for it, empowered for it, etc. Romans 12, and I'm going to read 4 through 8. It says, "For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. And having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, to let us give ourselves to our ministry. Or he that teacheth, to his teaching. Or he that exhorteth, to his exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." We are to assist in any way possible to the elect, especially the elders. They have been given work in the spiritual for all, and where possible, to lift the burden in the physical in return. We all are in one body, in one accord of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to go 12 through 20. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Of course, the devil hates that unity, and he wants to work against it, and he wants to make divisions and strife and unforgiveness and criticism and all these things. But if you don't listen to that, because it's just faction, and just be one with the brethren. That's what we've been called to be. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, or whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set it, each member, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, but one body. Amen. All created for a different purpose to serve that one body. Amen. Now this is really neat. This is called God's Love Letter. Samuel Fire gave it on 5/7/23. All glory to God, he says. An intimate message from God to you. I have sought for you, and I know all about you. Psalm 139, 10. The Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I know when you lay down to rest and when you awake. I know your thoughts before you speak them. Psalm 139 and 2 says, Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. I know where you will go and your situation. I am familiar with what you are going through. Psalm 139, 3, Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and thou art acquainted with all my ways. You are highly valued to me. I have counted all of your hairs. You are more worthy than any other living creature. Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father. But of you, the very hairs of the head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. I created you to be just like me. Genesis 1:27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You are my child. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain even of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. There you go. Before I made you in the womb, I knew you and made a purpose for you. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I have appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. Yes, we're to go out and give God's word to them, right? Before I made the world, I chose you for a legacy. Ephesians 1:11-12. In whom also we were made a heritage, foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we be unto praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Christ. I wrote you in my book, for you are not a mistake. Psalm 139, 15 and 16 says, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when I was yet there was none of them. When as of yet there was none of them. I decided where you would live and what date and time you were born. And believe it or not, you're in the Bible code. I know I am, and the time I was born and the time I got married and so on, it's there. Believe it. Acts 17 and 26, and he made of one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation. I formed you completely with every care, thought, and attention to every detail. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I safely brought you out in perfect time at your birth. Psalm 71 and 6, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Amen. I have been misrepresented. They have a different father and do not listen to me. I speak to you truthfully and in love. John 8, 41 through 44. You do the works of your father. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and am come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Wherefore understand ye not my speech, because you cannot hear my word. You are of the Father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a manslayer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because no truth is in him. And when he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Amen. And we know these people intricately. I am never far from you. I love you, and you are welcome to me. 1 John 4 and 16. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love. And who abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. I declare you are my child, and I will continue to shower you in love. Do not care for the world, because they do not know me. I am your father. 1 John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. If you know of what is good, he that bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. That should go with that verse, I believe. He said, if you know of what is good and have had good things in the world, then receive truly good gifts from me, that anything or anyone else ever could compare. Matthew 7:11. If you therefore, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in the heavens, give good things to them that ask him? I am perfect, and I desire the same for you. Matthew 5:48. You therefore shall be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God's in the creating mode. He has the power to do it. We just agree with him, and he does it. Only everything that is good and every perfect gift comes from me. James 1:17. Every good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow cast by turning. So do not worry about anything, as I already know this. Seek and ask me, and I will provide. Matthew 6:31-33. Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the nations seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. I care and think of you until the furthest of you, your future. To have peace and hope always. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. I love you forever and have drawn you with my everlasting pure kindness, giving myself completely with love and compassion. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I think of you more than all the grains of sand on the shore. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. And when I awake, I am still with thee. I am the closest, and I am the strongest. I rejoice over you with happiness, and I delight over you with singing. Yes, he is the one closest to you, and he is stronger than the enemy. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I promise I will not turn away from you and doing good to you. Jeremiah 32:40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from following them to do them good. And I will put my fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from me. Please hear me and be together with me, for you are special and treasured from among all people, for all the earth is mine. Exodus 19:5 says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be mine own possession from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. It is my celebration to do you good, and I assure you that I desire to place you fittingly in the land. I do so with my whole heart and soul. Jeremiah 32:41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Call me, and I will answer you. I will show you exceedingly magnificent things beyond your understanding. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great things and difficult which thou knowest not. If you seek me with all your heart and soul, you will find me. But Deuteronomy 4:29, but from thence you shall seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, when thou searchest after him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Delight yourself in me, and I will give you all of your heart's desire. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. I am the one who gave you those desires, the will and to work these. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I am able to do more for you than you can comprehend of what you ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Now to the one able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Myself and my son have established a love, comfort, and encouragement for you in everything you do. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave eternal comfort and good hope in grace, comfort your hearts and establish in every good work and word. No matter what you are going through and all your troubles, we are with you always. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I am with you despite the toughest of troubles, and will bring you into victory. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. I will care for you, carry you close in my heart, and lead your way with gentleness. Isaiah 40:11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm, and shall carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. I promise I will be there with you and wipe away all of your tears and remove all of your pain. I promise there will be no more suffering. Revelation 21:3-4. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Lo, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are gone. I love you as my son Jesus. John 17:23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them even as thou lovest me. I have made known to all of my love for my son, and all who love me I love as my son. John 17:26. And I made known to them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me be in them, and I in them. For Jesus is the perfect image of my being, the ultimate representation of me in all things. Hebrews 1:3, who being the glory, effulgence, and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. through him and his pure sacrifice, reconciled us together as one. And I do not count any of your sins. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. But all the things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. In the most undeserved and gracious expression of my love to you is his death for you. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, and not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son as a propitiation, or a covering, for our sins. I am for you. I gave up everything I loved, that I might gain your love. Romans 8:31-32. What then shall we say unto these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who at least spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Amen. If you desire willingly the gift of my Son, Jesus, you will receive me for eternity. 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Father. Who confesseth the Son has the Father also. Not anything of any kind can separate you from my love. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Accept this, and there will be great joy and an amazing celebration in heaven. Luke 15:7. I say unto you that thus more joy shall be in heaven over one repenting sinner than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. Amen. I have always been Father in all of heaven and creation. Ephesians 3:14-15 says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heavens and on earth is named. That's his personal name, his really truly personal name, Father. Amen. They shall call me my Father. If you believe, you will be my son. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them gave he authority to become children of God, even to them that believe unto his name, who were begotten not of bloods, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And again, Proverbs 29:21. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. The creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I eagerly await you with the greatest of anticipation. Luke 15:20. And he arose and came unto his own father, but while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and pitied him, and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him much. I love you, Almighty God. Amen. All right. This is Tiana Fire, the gadget. She called it. During the women's prayer meeting, I saw a giant gadget toy that kind of looked like a puzzle, as it had so many different parts of it that connected together to make it. Only one part, the right part, could go into its specific place. no part could fit in any other part's position. The gadget was really big and heavy, and you needed at least two hands to even hold it. A few parts of the gadget were already positioned in their right spot, fitted tightly together, so they couldn't be moved. But some parts were in the wrong spot, and other parts were not fitting properly into their place because of dirt and dust. I saw the place where one part needed to go into, and this area had been cleaned so that the right part was able to click tightly into its correct spot. I guess it's very easy to understand this parable. I felt this relates to fellowship, how we are all one body in Christ, and when we are cleaned up, we get closer to Jesus and closer to each other. We are all unique and have our specific place that God created for us to be, and although it's a different part, we are all to be connected as one. I felt that when we fellowship together and pray together in unity, the Lord cleans us up and brings us closer together as one in Christ. Amen. John 15:3 is what came to me. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. And 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, here's another one from Tiana, 2022, Spiritual Safety in UBM. We had been watching some teaching videos regarding the Holy Bible by someone who was speaking some truth, but not completely from the Holy Spirit. There was some leaven with it. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Overall, what he was saying was pointing to Jesus, and I felt to have a break from watching this video, or these videos, and I went and put on a David Eales teaching video. As I started, I then had a vision of the gates of heaven and the golden doors opened, and I walked through, and I felt so welcome and an overwhelming sense of a warming, comforting, loving hug as I entered in. Let me just say, it's not man. It is the pure word. We have to learn to not depart from the sum of thy words, which is truth, right? And that's what opens to us the gates of these heavenly blessings. She went on, I felt like I was up so very high and there was nothing higher or above. People have told me similar things when they come to search out the things that we have discovered. And from the Word, and we usually share the Word so that people can understand that it's from the Word and not from us. Jeremiah 10:6 says, There is none like unto thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might. And 1 Corinthians 8:6, Yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we unto him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through him. Amen. I was so comforted and had such peace and protection beyond anything. As the gates closed behind me, I knew I was completely safe and no evil could even touch me. There was absolute security, and I didn't want to be anywhere else. I didn't feel to look back, and I couldn't think about anything other than what I was seeing and feeling. What we must do, by the way, is forsake the world, deny the old man, walk the crucified life, and we can enter into these things. I felt the Lord was saying to me that there is spiritual safety in the Unleavened Bread Ministries, revelations and teachings, and I don't need to search anywhere else. I was recently told by a sister who had been touched by faction from somebody we know, and she said she didn't think that Unleavened Bread Ministries was a safe place. And the reason it's not a safe place for this person is because they constantly fall back into sin. And, of course, God sanctifies the body, and he doesn't want leaven to leaven the lump. So he removes those who are leaven. So no credit goes to us here but our Lord Jesus, who is the Word, and we cannot add to it or take from it under penalty of a curse at the end of the book. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, your greatness to us. We love you so much. We enjoy listening to the revelations of your love to us and your provision for us. And thank you, Father, for drawing us unto yourself, keeping us, and delivering us from all evil. Amen. All right. Good night. God bless you.